William, let's talk about this Stargate mission you were on.
Great. Yeah, this place I went to, I investigated, is called Abu Ghraib. It's the same name as that despicable Iraqi prison.
Oh, my God, yeah. You weren't there, were you?
No. But it's a place in Egypt, again, about 12, 15 miles from the Great Pyramid. In fact, when you're standing on the pyramid at Abu Ghraib, you can actually see the Great Pyramid Complex as well as Saqqara and the other areas. You're literally in what's called a pyramid field, which is what it sounds like, a field of pyramids that are ancient, ancient, ancient.
They look crumbling in the pictures you sent me. They're falling apart.
Exactly. In fact, this is it's with a little bit of concern about that I actually decided to talk about Abu Ghraib. I consulted with Stephen Mailer, author of The Land of Osiris, about this when I got home, who has also spoken about Abu Ghraib and said, Stephen, gosh, you know, I've got some tremendous new information about Abu Ghraib, but personally, not sure I really want to call it that much attention to the place because it's so fragile. It's a closed to the public archaeological site. It's questionable about whether or not we actually broke the law going there. And it's not set up for spiritual warriors to all of a sudden start making a beeline for the place. But I decided that I think that this information is just too important to keep to myself, and decided, okay, well, we've really got to talk about this place because it has so many ramifications in so many different areas concerning the study of the ancients, possibly concerning the Anunnaki, and also this idea of Stargate.
Okay, so you go on out there, you're looking for this ancient Stargate, and give me your definition of this Stargate.
Well, the Stargate is both either a portal, a literal door or gate leading to the stars, or it's a location where star beings come through in the form of energies that the ancient Egyptians knew as netters, N-E-T-E-R-S. That's where we get our word nature. And according to Abdel Al-Kilkim, who is Stephen Mailer's teacher and others, this site was designed specifically to create heightened spiritual awareness through vibrations that were transmitted through this massive, massive alabaster crystal platform sitting in front of this pyramid there. In fact, ancient Egyptian legend, or Kemeshian legend to be more specific, says that these netters, these divine energies, or even divine beings actually landed at Abu Ghraib, and this is why it's considered to be not only the most ancient or oldest ceremonial center on the planet, but one of the most sacred places on the planet as well.
See, I don't know if the Giza pyramids are 5,000, 10,000, or even older years old. These looked pretty old. I mean, they looked like they were ready to fall apart.
Yeah, they do. And in fact, there's hallmarks that identify this, the age of this site, and link it to others. And the primary hallmark is the use of these precision cut, polished, and placed red granite casing stones that you see on the front of the pyramid. And in fact, I believe I've got a plate that's on the Coast to Coast site that shows this red granite in front of this pyramid. Yeah, I believe it's plate number 3.
All right.
When we look at this, we're seeing these massive granite blocks that are, as I say, precision cut, polished, and placed with extraordinary accuracy by some group of beings that had some method of maneuvering and placing these stones that does not seem to be attributable to any normal means that we would see.
There's a guy with a chisel, William.
Yeah, right. I mean, take a copper chisel and see what a copper chisel looks like after a confrontation with a big slab of red granite like this.
What about the theory that the blocks were poured blocks in the spots that they are? So they built, you know, the frame, and then they poured, I would guess, what, liquid limestone or something, and it hardened?
Well, I think that that's a very interesting theory. I haven't personally seen enough evidence to say that that's the way they did it. Anti-gravity has also been suggested. one of my all-time goals now. I interviewed Stephen Mailer on Dreamland last year, and before I did so, it was kind of cool because a woman emailed me saying, well, you know, you two guys kind of disagree on some things, but I think that between the two of you, you are going to come up with irrefutable proof of ancient Egyptian anti-gravity. And ever since I've received that email, that's become sort of my life's quest. And I'm looking forward to furthering my connection with Stephen and Hakim, his teacher, and others that are attempting to recover this ancient secret of anti-gravity. So anybody who has any insight into that, please let me know.
Well, he's dead, unfortunately. Edward Leeds Scullin,
the guy
who built the Coral Castle.
You're right. You're
same technology.
Right.
Yep. And I believe he was once quoted as saying he possessed the technology of the Egyptians.
Well, it's there. And the thing that drives me, George, is that we hear about this ancient indigenous oral tradition that exists in Egypt. And the way I came to understand that on this recent trip is that the stones there speak, the temples speak, the gods and goddesses speak to you. If you have the right energy, the right frequency, the open heart, the open mind, you can literally, quote unquote, be gifted with this knowledge. Some people today refer to it as a download. And I literally believe that this knowledge is in the vibrations of the stones in the temples themselves, and it's there for us to access if we approach this place with the right, quote-unquote, attitude.
Now, when you go and you're searching for information on a Stargate, are you looking for the Stargate specifically?
Well, I'm looking for depictions that portray gods aboard craft that resemble precisely the way modern science portrays wormholes.
All right.
For one thing, I'm looking for evidence of ancient particle accelerators, devices that are used to drill holes in space. And I have found evidence of that at Abydos. And I have found numerous examples over and over again portraying the gods sailing aboard their craft that resemble wormholes into gates that are composed of stars. I call those gates composed of stars stargates.
And the craft, based on what we have seen, people have witnessed, the oval shapes and cigar shapes, things like that?
No, actually the craft that they're riding in look like the classic depiction of a wormhole, which has an open mouth on one end, it has a throat and an open mouth on the other end. In fact, one of the plates that I supplied, plate number one, portrays one of these immortal beings with a light heart sailing into a net or a field that is called the Field of the Blessed. Ancient Egyptian myth, legend, and references suggest that this Field of the Blessed that this figure is sailing into is another dimension.